All right. Brother Bill?
All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, let's all turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah is a really interesting book. It's called the mini Bible. How many chapters are in Isaiah? Does anyone know offhand? 66. How many books are in your Bible? How many books are in the Old Testament? 39. You read the first 39 chapters of Isaiah, you'll see there's a difference between the first 39 and then the last 27 books. There's a difference there. It's a little Bible is what it is inside the Bible. And look here at verse 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. And I'm going to ask Brother Charles, if you would. Brother Charles, would you lead us in prayer, brother?
Dear Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, for the scriptures, Lord, for the word that you've left us, Lord, for the roadmap that you've left us here to walk by. Lord, we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for Brother Bill. We ask you, Lord, that you would just reach down tonight. Anoint these verses that he's read to us. Anoint the scriptures that he reads tonight. The sermon that he has for us this evening, Lord, be with him, Lord. God help us tonight, Lord, that we can just receive your word into our hearts and lives, and Lord, and live for thee. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You know, I stand up here just tonight, and I tell you, I feel a lot like the verse does over in Luke when it talks about you have a friend come over at midnight, and he knocks on the door, and he says, give me some loaves of bread. And I'm going to tell you, you're my friends, and you've come on a long journey, and you've come to be fed tonight, and I have nothing to give you. So we've got to go to the Lord and ask Him if He'll give us some loaves that He'll feed us, because what I have to say doesn't matter, but it's God's Word that feeds us. It's God's Word that changes and sustains us. Notice in this chapter, as we look here, notice the Bible says. The Bible says here that, you notice there's an attack going on, a spiritual attack going on across our country. And I tell you, especially among young people, young people are quitting the church. They're dropping out of church left and right. And you'll notice the Bible says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, the young men shall utterly fall. The Bible lists three things that can happen there. It says here that the youth, they shall faint, they shall be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Now, I don't know about y'all, but that's not how I want to end up. I don't want to end up fainting. I don't want to end up going weary. And I don't want to end up falling. And I believe that's a real danger that's out there. When you look in your Bible, this is really interesting to me, is when you find these patterns. Now, we've talked about this before. What do you almost always find with strife? Do you remember? Envy. When you look in the Bible and you find strife, you look around, you're going to find a lot of times envy's close by. When there's strife in the church, what causes strife? Envy. Where there's envy, there's strife. Where there's strife, there's envy. What's interesting is you're going to find faint and weary are sisters. They go together. Where you find faintness, you're also going to find those that are weary. Those that are weary, they faint. It kind of goes together. So the Bible says that the young men, the youth shall faint. What causes folks to faint? What causes, when I think of faint, I think of folks that have completely lost their ability to go on. They're exhausted, they're tired, and they're just give out. They're just played out. And I think there's a lot of folks that are like that today. And I think the Bible tells us what causes folks to be like that. And I look here in Matthew 5:15-32. The Bible just says this. Jesus called the disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. Here Jesus said that if He sent them away without eating, He said that's going to cause them to faint. They're going to get too tired. They need the energy. Now that showed me clearly that a big problem today is I think a lot of folks don't read their Bibles. That spiritually, if we need energy, if you need strength, we need to start reading the Word of God. And I think especially young people, our younger folks here, we've got to start, you've got to read that Bible every day. Kids need to read your Bibles. You need every night, read your Bible. You don't have to read 38 chapters a night, but every night you need to read some of your Bible. I'm telling you, we should read our Bible every single day. Over in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, it says this, "As newborn babes, desire ye the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." I'm going to tell you right now, when you don't have the energy to serve God, I'm going to tell you, 99 times out of 100, the problem is you've not been reading your Bible. Because the Bible gives us strength to go on. And I'll just say this, there's times you don't feel like reading your Bible. But when you don't feel like reading your Bible, that's when you need to read even the more. That's even more so you've got to fight it. Because the devil, he wants to keep us out of God's Word. It's like anything, when you're sick, you lose your appetite, right? And when you start to get sick, when you start getting a little sin in your life, your heart gets a little hard, you don't want to read the Bible. But that's when you've got to make yourself read the Bible. And that's what we need today. We need to stay in the Word of God. But I tell you what else causes folks to faint is when they take their eyes off the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12 verses 1 and 3 says this, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind." Notice the Bible's telling us here, if you don't want to get weary, you don't want to faint, well, you're going to keep your eyes on the Lord, and you've got to focus on Jesus Christ. Don't get distracted by what's going on over here or what's going on over here, but you keep your eyes on the Lord. Don't let sin distract you, get you out of the way. But you got to keep your focus, your devotion, and your commitment on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's easy to let that slide. And we've got to be disciplined and force ourselves to stay committed and focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the reason that we do everything. He is our life, our strength. Focus on Jesus Christ. And the Bible says you're not going to faint. And I tell you what else causes folks sometimes to faint. Is when they get a good old-fashioned whipping. Have you ever got a good old-fashioned whipping before from your mom and dad? Brother Dale, you never got whipped, did you?
I'm good at not saying
it. Okay. Yeah. Brother Charles, I think Brother Charles wasn't afraid to break out. My mom and dad wasn't. And I'm sure most of our parents weren't afraid to throw out the whipping. But the Bible says, "Have ye forgotten the exhortation?" This is Hebrews 12:5. "Have ye forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." Now what's interesting there is Hebrews 12:5 says, not to despise the chastening of the Lord, nor faint. Hebrews is quoting from Proverbs, and in Proverbs it says this, Proverbs 3:11, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary in his correction." One uses faint, and one uses weary. "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son, in whom he delighteth." You know, when you do wrong, you just got to expect God's going to discipline you. If he loves you, if you're one of his kids, he's going to spank you. He's going to take care. The dangerous thing is when you do wrong and God doesn't do anything. When you do wrong and God doesn't punish you or deal with you, that means one thing. You're not one of His. Because the Bible says if you're one of His and you do wrong, you're not going to get away with it. And I'll say it again. You're not going to get away with your sins, and I'm not going to get away with my sins. It doesn't matter who we are. When you do wrong and you belong to God, He is going to whip you. He's going to get you, not because He hates you, but because He loves you. He's going to correct you to get you back on the right path. But you know, sometimes folks get weary doing the work of the Lord. They work for the Lord and they're serving God, and sometimes they get tired and weary. But the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." What's the law of Christ? Remember what Christ said his commandment was? We're to love God and love your brother as yourself. Okay? For if a man thinketh himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. They go together there. 2 Thessalonians 3:13, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Don't get weary. You know, the Bible says there again that the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. When you read about people falling in the Bible, it's bad. It's always bad. Falling is always a sign of reprobate, turning away from the faith. It's a sad thing. You know, we talk about, you know, people that fall, they fall to Christ, they fall towards Christ, but things that fall away from Christ is showing a going away from the faith. The Bible says in the last time there'd be a great falling away. Things that fall away are always, you know, get my attention when I see that. But here the Bible is warning about a falling. Peter tells us, he tells us how we can avoid falling. Okay, here's the key to not falling. Peter says this, and I think Delaney's class, I love what Mr. Delaney does. He teaches the kids Bible verses back on Wednesday nights. And it says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, and besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith. Now notice what's the first thing you add to your faith in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5. The first thing you add to your faith is virtue. Okay, virtue. What's the importance of that? Virtue is morality. Is doing right. The very first thing you want to add to your faith is you do the right thing. You be an honest, virtuous person. And to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you, and abound, they make you that ye shall never be barren, nor unfruitful in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right there tells us how to always bear fruit. If we'll do this, it says we'll always be fruitful. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. You know, when we see a lot of young people, they start off in church. But as they get older, they kind of quit going. And you wonder what happened. And I think a lot of times is a lot of young people aren't saved. They may have thought they were saved, but they weren't truly born again. But I want to say this. Everyone goes through this. All young people face this, and all adults face this. God will test you. If you say you are a Christian, if you say you're a believer, mark it down. God will test you to see if it's true. And all the young people that go to church, when they become teenagers, and it comes time for them to leave the house, God will test them to see if they truly believe what they say they believe. And that's just how it is. It's that time of testing. I think a lot of times young people find out that they really weren't that committed. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19 says this, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. And I think sometimes young people get confused and they think they might be saved when they're really, really not. They're really not saved. So here the Bible talks about, and I'll tell you something else that hurts kids. It's hypocrisy in parents. Hypocrisy or hypocrisy, I don't know if I'm saying it right, but you know what I'm trying to get at. You know, parents do one thing in church and say one thing at church, but when they go home, they do something different. Do you think kids catch that pretty quick? Yeah, you know, kids, they're pretty good about bologna. They don't like it. You know, my kids won't eat bologna, and they don't like it. They feed it to them, they don't like it when you live it. They don't like bologna. They expect you to do, if you say this, they expect dad and mom to do it too. You know, if I say don't do this, kids, or don't watch this show, my kids don't need to come in there and catch me watching it or doing it, right? That's just how it is. And I tell you what happens, a lot of times parents, they say one thing at church, but when they get home, there's something different. Kids see that, and they don't believe it. They don't believe, you know. And I tell you what parents need to always remember. Is there any perfect parents out there? There's none. Okay? If you're like us, me and Denise, you know, we didn't have any training at being parents. When we had our first kid, it was the hospital didn't give us a manual. They didn't say, here, read this book and this will tell you what to do. They just gave us a kid and said, pay the bill and get out of here. That's all they wanted. We've got more beds that need to fill up, more babies being born. Y'all go on home now. We don't want to see y'all anymore. So we go home and we had nothing. And you know what's interesting to me is your first child. You know, she falls on the ground and she gets a little bump on her head. And we are panicking. Do we take her to the hospital? You know, because we know that if we don't, her arm could fall off. Something bad can happen to her, right? And we're, by the time Kenny gets around, he's down there eating dog food. And we're like, yeah, that's pretty good stuff, isn't it, Kenny? Yeah. You know, isn't it funny how things change? By the time you get to your last kid, you realize they're a lot tougher. You know, they can take quite a bit of abuse. But I'm sorry, Kenny. You didn't eat a whole lot of dog food. We stopped you pretty quick there. It wasn't your. The dog food looks like Cocoa Pebbles or Cocoa Puffs. So I understand. But you know what? Let me tell you about being a parent that makes a mistake. Parents make mistakes. But let me tell you, here's the test for parents. It's not that you made a mistake is the test. It's that what do you do after you make the mistake? You know, when you mess up, you need to go to your kids and tell them, I'm sorry. Daddy lost his temper. Daddy was wrong. Mama needs to go say, Mommy made a mistake. You need to make it right. That's what parents, it's not that you messed up, but when you mess up, you have to make it right. Don't be so full of pride that we can't tell our kids, Daddy was wrong. Daddy made a mistake. I'm sorry, kids. We need to be parents like that. But I'll tell you, too many kids, they go home and they hear the preacher talk about how you got to love one another. And then guess what mom and dad have for supper Sunday afternoon? Fried church member. Right? And they run up, they talk about somebody, they have fried church member for lunch, and they talk about so-and-so and sister so-and-so and how awful they are, and I can't stand sitting by them, and they're just terrible, terrible. And they have fried church member, and kids see that. And they know the Bible says I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself, but mom and dad sure don't like brother so-and-so, do they? Kids see that. They catch that. They catch it a lot quicker than we'd like them to. Well, here's the good news. We don't want to faint. We don't want to grow weary. We don't want to fall. What I love is that God tells us exactly what to do so that never happens. God is going to show us and tell us in His Word what we can do that will keep us from growing faint, growing weary, and falling. And the answer is in verse 31. Notice what it says. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Did you notice what they're going to do? They're not going to get weary. They're not going to faint. There the Bible tells us exactly what to do. Instead of falling, they're flying. See, God is going to show us. And here's the answer. The Bible says that the key to it all is this. They that wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord. What does it mean to wait upon the Lord? Does that mean that you kind of sit in the corner and kind of fold your arms and just look at the time and wait for God to do something? Is that what that waiting means? Absolutely not. I'm curious, how many of y'all went out to eat today for lunch? Brother Darrell, where'd y'all go? The cat. What happened? When you got there, did they say just go in there in the kitchen and cook it yourself? And just what happened when you got there? Did they show you to a table? They said, come this way. Come right on in. Have a seat. And once you sat down, they brought you a menu. And they brought you a bunch of hush puppies and onions and all that good stuff. They asked you what you wanted to drink, right? And once you told them, what'd they do? Went and got your drink, brought it to you. And then you looked and you decided what you wanted to eat. And you said, I want this. And they said, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. And they ran back there. And a few minutes later, they brought the food out. And while you're sitting there, what does that waiter do? Do they just sit there and just... A lot of times they do. They disappeared. You never see them again until it's bill time, right? Have you ever noticed when it's time to pay the bill, how sweet they get? We're so glad you came to see us. Right there's the tip line. But you know what I love? I love it when I've got a waiter where I cannot outdrink the waiter. I'm pouring it on the ground and he's coming. He's already refilled me and brought me another one. You know what he's doing? He's a waiter. What's a waiter? It's someone that serves. See, the they that wait upon the Lord is not about sitting over here in the corner and doing nothing. They that wait upon the Lord are those that serve God. That is what this is talking about. That if we want to avoid fainting and getting weary and falling, the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. If you want to have your strength renewed, get busy doing something for God. If we'll get busy serving God, and we'll start waiting on God, and start doing whatever we can to please God, and be busy and active, I'm going to tell you, God is going to do something in your life. That's what waiting on the Lord is all about. And I think a lot of young people need to start doing this. I think young people need to start looking around what they can do for God. Let me tell you what you ought to do. You ought to get up every morning, and when you wake up, you ought to say, "Dear God, what can I do for you today? How can I serve you?" Present your body a living sacrifice and say, "God, I'm your servant. You show me today. Give me an opportunity to serve you today." And I'm going to tell you, God will. He'll give you things to do. I think a lot of us need to start getting some tracts and carry with us. And we can start handing tracts out to folks. You can just pass one to somebody and say, "Here, do you know Jesus? Have you been saved?" It's not very hard. We can look around. There's some old ladies and old men need their yards mowed. You can rake the yards. There's a lot of things we can do to help other people. And by helping other people, you're waiting on the Lord and you're serving the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, we'll encourage others. And I tell you, you could come early like Billy James does. Billy James gets here about 30 minutes early. Come, stand in the back and shake hands. Who's the first one that shakes your hand when you come into church? Billy James is. He's an encourager, isn't he? He's like, "How you doing?" He's always there to say hi to you. You know, maybe you can come early, but there's a lot of things you can do to serve God. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Now notice what it says they'll do. They will mount up with wings as eagles. This may not be right, but this reminded me about when I first got saved. But when I first got saved, buddy, I was ready to go. I was ready to change the world. I was excited, and I was this world was never going to be the same. And I'm afraid it may not be the same before I'm done. Just not in a good way. But boy, I was flying so high for the Lord. And let me tell you something about eagles. Do you ever see a bunch of eagles flying together? Let me tell you about eagles. When they fly alone usually, don't they? You don't see very many eagles together. And that's the first thing I learned as a Christian is I didn't have to forsake friends. When I got saved, they forsook me. I didn't want to do the things they wanted to do. I wanted to talk about Jesus and go to church. It wasn't hard. They dropped me quick. Didn't take very long. And when you fly as an eagle, you can't be afraid to fly alone, can you? And I'm going to tell you something about flying as an eagle. I learned this myself. Don't look down on others that don't fly as high as you do. Don't look down at folks that don't have the same convictions you have. Don't look down on folks that aren't as flying where you're at and think that you're better than them. Because the truth of the matter is, if it wasn't for the grace of God, you wouldn't be flying at all. God had to pick you up out of the sewer and clean you off to send you flying. And because you're flying somewhere, you just need to give glory to God. Yeah, and we got to remember, the Bible says in Galatians 6:3 that if a man thinketh to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Those eagles fly high, but I tell you what else they do. They can also fly pretty low. And sometimes you go down to the valley of the shadow of death. God brings you low. When we get high, God knows how to bring us down low, don't he? But notice what else they do. They fly with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. You know the word run is used a lot in the scriptures. The Bible says here, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Here the Bible telling us to run with patience. Galatians chapter 5, 7, Paul asked the church there, "Ye did run well, who did hinder you, that ye should not obey the truth?" In Philippians 2, 16, the Bible says, "Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain. neither labored in vain. You know, whenever you see folks running, they get so tired. But my Bible tells me that when we wait upon the Lord, we can run the race and not get weary. In the physical body, you can't run without getting tired. But spiritually, the Bible says if we'll wait on the Lord, He'll keep our strength up and we can keep going. And the last thing tonight I want to show you, the Bible says, is they shall walk and faint not. Isn't it neat the Bible goes from flying to running to walking? And it says they shall walk and they shall faint not. How are we to walk, by the way? Deuteronomy 13:4. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him. Psalm 23:4 says that sometimes we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Jeremiah 6:16 says this, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old path. Where is the good way? And walk therein. The Bible says we're to walk in the old path, in the good way. The Bible also says in 3 John 1:4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. We're to walk in truth. 2 John 1:6 says this, and this is love, that we walk after His commandments. 1 John 1:7 says, but if you walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. Romans 13:13 says this, let us walk honestly. 1 Thessalonians 4:12 says that you may walk honestly. Colossians 1:10 says this, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. Ephesians 5:2 says, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Galatians 5:25 says that if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. And here's my favorite, 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And there the Bible tells us how we can walk, we can run, and we can fly. So how do we keep from fainting and growing weary and falling? The Bible says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I will encourage you. I heard a statistic the other day, and it was that 70% of the young people in a church are going to quit serving God before the end of their life. And I was just thinking, in our church, I'm looking at the kids that are here tonight. I don't want 70% of our kids to quit serving God, do you? How can the church continue going on if 70% of our youth are falling away? That's terrible. We need to pray that God will have mercy on us. Let's pray. There's some kids that used to come here that don't go here. They don't mean they're gone. They don't mean that there's no hope for them. Let's pray that God will bring them back. Let's pray that God will reach them and bring them back. Now, there's a lot of kids that need to come back to church, and I know God can touch your hearts. He can bring them back. So I'm going to encourage, especially young people, every day, you guys are below 30, and you can see your toes because your belly's not so big. I'm going to tell you something, guys. You need to every day ask God, what can I do for you today, Lord? How can I serve you? And young people, every day, you guys read your Bibles. Every single day, you open your Bible and you read it. You spend time with God. Let's all stand together.